as we go along. Fatal, good to have you here on the show.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah. We haven't spoken in a while. You and I haven't spoken for, what, 4 years? It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a while. You know, the job has taken me somewhere. Yeah. I've been in Accra only weekends. I've had all my time in the Writing Dream Academy. Mm. I only come home on weekends. I come on Saturday after the kids play game on Saturday morning. I come to Accra in the afternoon. I go back early in the morning Monday. So I only have time when they're on vacation.
Wow, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. I want us to roll it back. You know, there are lots of people who admire what you have done, especially because you decided to spend a lot of time here in Ghana, in the Ghana Premier League. You won the biggest title, which is the Premier League with Ashanti Gold, and you moved on to do other things. So I want us to start the journey. Was football always the preference? Was playing football always the dream for you?
Yes, well, I started playing football at a younger age. I can remember I started playing at the age of 12. And then a certain guy who is late now, called Audu Wala, he's popular in Medina. He encouraged me to be a goalkeeper. So I started playing as a outfield player, just like this normal under 12. But at a point in time, he encouraged me to be a goalkeeper, and then I went in straight to play in goal. And I have the interest, so I need to continue from there. So I have the passion since from then. I said, no, I like to be a goalkeeper. And then that continues from
there. So before then, you were an outfield player. Which specific position was it that you were interested in?
Yeah, I normally play as a striker because I'm good with the head. You know, so they always like me to play up front. So at the point in time, they need to play me in goal. So he encouraged me to play as a goalkeeper. So when I went in, I feel like, no, this is also another position that I can take. So I took the position, and then I started playing as a goalkeeper.
Wow. What was it like getting, you know, growing up in a neighborhood like Medina, specific neighborhood within Medina, and, you know, devoting your time as a child to football? You know, when you look at the history or the juvenile football or coast football history of Accra, Medina played a very big role. We had quite some names also pass through that place. What was it like? Well, you belonged to some teams, you had, you know, coast football sites that you played for, what?
You know, by then, to play a coast team, especially in Accra, is very difficult. I remember I went to Golden Tulip. It was Granada before they changed it to Golden Tulip. It's a coast team. I went to, that's a trust, but a lot of goalkeepers, a lot of players. So I don't have a chance to play. So I went back to Medina to play in this under 12. Until I went to Cape Coast to school. That's when I had a chance to play a proper course. So I play my course football in Cape Coast. That's Has Babies. That's where I play my course. Because by then in Accra, the course in Accra by then, it's not easy. Not to talk about even Tema. Tema course.
Loads and loads of talents.
It's not easy at all. But, you know, everything is time. So the only place I had a chance to play my course football is in Cape Coast.
What were you doing in Cape Coast? Was it that your family moved there, or, you know, what was it exactly that you went to do in Cape Coast?
No, I went to a commercial school there.
Okay.
So that's where a coach spotted me, and then he got me to his team to play for the coast team.
And it was goalkeeping?
It's goalkeeping throughout.
I see. How would you describe goalkeeping? I mean, for those who sit back and watch, they say that the conditioning that you need to be a goalkeeper is way more than what you need to be an outfield player. Is that really the case?
Yes, comparing to the modern trend of goalkeeping, this time the position demands a lot. This time the position demands a lot. Playing as a footballer, as a goalkeeper, is different from coaching. Far. One of the days, goalkeeping, you know, you have to just save the ball, just dive, jump. But this time it has changed a lot. So as we were trained before, if we should use the same method to train our goalkeepers this time, I would say that we have totally failed football. Well, the game has changed a lot. But it's generation, it's time. And then the game will keep changing. So when the game is changing, as a coach, you need to also study, make a lot of research, come back to the field, teach the boys so that they can meet the demands. So playing those time or how we were trained those time is different from now. Now, I can't train my goalkeepers how I was trained before. No, I can't do that because the game has changed. So when I was playing, you know, by then, it's not easy to have a goalkeeper's trainer. You need to go and do your own thing. And then when the team needs you, you call you, the goalkeepers will come and join the team and then you join. But the only thing, the most important thing is if you have the passion, you will go through.
So then it means that during your era, when you were coming up, the whole idea of the goalkeeper's trainer was non-existent and you had to more or less be on your own and use your own ideas to fit into the team strategy.
Yes, that's how it is.
Interesting. Well, if you just joined us, we're still here having this one-on-one conversation with Fatau Dauda, who's played at the FIFA World Cup, played at the Africa Cup of Nations for Ghana, and also won the Ghana Premier League, the goalkeeper's trainer of the Black Stars, who has loads and loads of experiences to share with us here on this special edition of the Joy Sports Lake here on Joy 99.7 FM, which is also live on our YouTube channels. Keep your messages coming in, and a bit we'll be sharing with everyone else. We're just delving into the origins and the starting days and how things went before he was able to stand on his feet and start getting major opportunities. Now, the family system, you know, in this country back in the time was such that most parents didn't believe in the idea of football, you know, having a child, you know, go and play football. It was more of the traditional everyday occupations that we all aspire to, or what is referred to as white collar occupations. You want somebody to become a doctor, to become a lawyer, to become an architect, to become a teacher, to become an engineer, you know, that kind of line. How come none of that, did any of that, you know, come your way? Did any person within your family, anybody within your parents, your uncles, aunties, give you that kind of admonition to want to do any such rather than football?
Yeah, I remember very well, made a soul of my parents, mm-hmm. my dad, my mom, may they also rest in peace.
Amen.
I remember, you know, those times you go to school from Monday mm-hmm. to Friday.
Yeah.
And Saturday and Sunday, that's when we play football. And that's when I have to go to Islamic school.
I see.
And we play those matches in the morning. And we have to go to the Islamic school Saturday morning and then Sunday morning. So if I want to play football, I need to avoid the Islamic school. And those times, if you don't go to Islamic school, they send the big boys in the school to come after you. And even when they come home, even your parents will give them a chance to take you away.
I see.
And you, when you go, a lot of punishment. But for me, that has helped me a lot to know how to recite the Quran, how to recite a surah to pray. It has helped me. So if I've not been Makaranta, I cannot pray. I cannot be a Muslim. I will know nothing about Islam.
I see.
But I remember one time, just in front of our house in Medina, yes. There was a park there.
Okay.
So that's where we used to play the football.
Okay.
So I remember one time we were playing a gala. I decided, no, this time I won't go to the Islamic school. Whatever happens, which one? So we were playing a gala. And then I was playing go. So people went to my house to go and call my father and the mother to come and say, hey, come and see your son. He's playing, I'm playing. There was a big boys, but I was very little there because. Okay. There wasn't a lot of goalkeepers, so they asked me to come and play.
Okay.
And that day, I was playing well. So they came and they were watching. They were happy. The way people were praising me, they were happy. So that day, I know after the game, they will punish me. But could you believe after the game, they even give me food to eat because of what they saw me doing.
I see.
So that even motivated me to keep going.
I see.
I will never forget this.
You escaped punishment that day?
Yes, I escaped that punishment that
you
day.
You got good food to
good
eat.
Good food to eat. Well, that time, it's not easy. You will get food to eat, but sometimes you need to get a chicken.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Unless Saturdays,
yeah.
Like Christmas, before you can get chicken. Even before you can get Fanta and cool. But that day, you know, I was like the king in the house. You know, I will never forget that day. So that even motivated us. That means I need to be serious, but at the same time, I need to be focused on the Arabic school, the Islamic school. So that's what even motivated me. They want me to go to Islamic school. Yes, they want me to go to Bakarata. But when they saw that I have the talent, sometimes when the coaches or the team owners come to the house to call me, sometimes they discuss them, no, we will let him go, but make sure he goes to Makaranta, he goes to Islamic school before he comes to play the football. So like it was combination of the Makaranta and then the football. Because from Monday to Friday, for that one, they know I'll go to school. Mm. But Saturday and Sunday is only for the Islamic school.
Yeah.
That's the days we also play football. So I cannot say no, I won't go to the Islamic school. Because it's only 2 times in a week. And then that's when we play football. So I need to balance it and then move on with my career.
Well, interesting stuff there. Play good football and you sure will be treated like a king, isn't it? So, you went through all of these phases. Now, I want you to tell me what the standard was for you as children at the time and who were the people who represented the standard that you wanted to aspire to, at the time when you were growing up.
Well, I have my boss, my master, whom I will never forget about him, is Kujuado.
Kujuado, I see.
Kujuado, yeah.
Mm. At the time when you were growing up, where was he playing?
He was playing for Madina Republicans.
I see.
It's a Division 2 team. He played with Osu Benson, Emmanuel Sekufo, former House of Folk, and then some other guys, Gordon Ablodi. Yeah. He used to play the same team, Madina.
I see.
And then before he moved on to play for Liberty Professionals.
Yeah, I see.
So he was in Madina. He was a top goalkeeper in Madina by then. So when I was growing, they advised me if I want to be a good goalkeeper, I should see Kujuado. Well, in Madina at that time, he was the number one.
Mm.
Because I wanted to also be a goalkeeper, I listened to them. He lives in Madina Old Road, New Road, and I lived at Madina Old Road. So I need to walk from Madina to Niro to go and see Kujo. Wait for him early in the morning to take care of the house, and then before he would carry me to Presec Park. There was a park in Presec. That's where we used to train.
Where their primary school is situated?
No, the main park.
The main park, I see.
Yes, yeah. That's the park we have in Madina at that time. That has grass. The other parks are grassless. So Presec is like our Wembley.
I see.
So I will wait for Kujuado early in the morning. By then, the father wasn't well, so he has to take care of the father.
I see.
So I have to sit down and wait for him. When he's done, we move, and then we walk from Niro to Presec to go and train. So he's the one who has been encouraging me. To date, I don't joke with him, because I know how he has helped me in my goalkeeping career.
When you look around the globe, I mean, he gave you the foundation in terms of giving you the basics in the sport and also in the department of goalkeeping. When you look around the globe and you look at all the big achievers as well, who is it that cuts it for you? And what specific thing about them is it that you picked up? You mean you've talked about Kujuado giving you the fundamentals. Now, let's look around the globe and look at all the big competitions that have been played here on the continent and at the World Cup, which you've been to. Who is it in goalkeeping who cuts it for you and represents the standard, globally?
Yes, I used to like Casillas.
Mm.
I like him because of he make goalkeeping very attractive and easy.
Okay.
Because of his position behind the ball all the time.
Positioning behind the ball.
It's fantastic.
I see.
That's the most important thing in goalkeeping, position. Position is very important. So his position all the time behind the ball is fantastic. So I took a lot of inspiration from him, a lot of learning from him. That's that time, But now we have other goalkeepers also coming up. So it's generation to generation, understand? But I like him so much when he was playing because of his position behind the ball all the time.
Wow, amazing stuff. All right. Let's get down to opportunities that you got. I mean, after you had that basic training and you decided to start reaching for bigger things. Walk us through the journey, the structure of the lower divisions of football at the time and how you had to find your way through to get to club football in the Ghana Premier League.
Well, I started from the coast, as I said earlier on, in Cape Coast. After I finished school, I came down to Accra. I played for Medina Olivers as a Division 3 for one season. And I went there to play for Medina United Division 2. That's Jordan, the late Jordan Anglas team.
Yeah.
Division 2.
The late Jordan Anglas was the management committee chairman of the Black Satellites team that won Ghana and Africa's first under 20 FIFA World Cup. He was also a vice president. He was a vice president of the Ghana Football Association as well.
Yeah, so I played for his team.
Rest in peace, yes.
I played for his team for two seasons. And then I went to Ho to play for Ho Voradep. They were in Division 1 by then. I played for Ho Voradep for 3 years. I came down to Accra. I wanted a new challenge because I played for Coast, Division 3, Division 2, Division 1. So what next? Premier Division. So the same Kudradu who took me to Liberty Professionals, but then he was playing for Liberty Professionals, so he took me there to go and do the justify the trials. So I went there, a lot of top goalkeepers there. But they give me a chance to be training with them. But there's no chance for me. So I need to look elsewhere. So I came and then I started training with the youngsters at Kareshi Complex. By then, a lot of goalkeepers stood there. So it took the intervention of Sumaila Abdallah. He was a goalkeeper for the youngsters. So we were playing some gala at Kaukudi. Like, you know, Nima, they have this, they used to play some area. So I went there to play for one community. So we were playing, and then this smaller came to me that Oko United wanted a goalkeeper. They were having a goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper is going to Olympus. So there's a space there. We can see that. So they are playing justified to pick a replacement. So I listened to him, and then I went. So he has already spoken with Coach Sule Mohammed, who was a coach there, that I will come. So I went there. I went to training. It was Monday. I went, a lot of players that day, a lot of goalkeepers too. But I went to him, and then I just greeted him. I said, I was a goalkeeper that, okay. So he said, I should stay. And then when they were playing, the next team that were coming to play, he added me that I should play and go. So I went to go. We played for only 30 minutes because there are a lot of players. So they need to give every player a chance to play.
Chance. Yeah.
So I had the chance to play for only 30 minutes. So after, they were supposed to play a game on Wednesday against Azakes in Takoradi. That day was 1st July. It was holiday.
At that time
it was holiday. So they selected me to join the team to go and play that friendly game. So we have only one senior player who joined us to go to Takoradi to play that game. I went there and I played in goal. We played against Azakes and we drew that match. So when we were coming in the bus, I remember that senior player give me one Ghana series that time because of the performance. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've even forgotten that name, the name of the player, but I remember that day. He gave me one seat in the bus. So when we came, the following week, they are starting the league. That's 2002. So we came to Accra. They organized everything quickly to get my document to get me registered so I can play the league. Our secretary was Mr. Odo Nyaku.
I see.
He was a secretary.
The legendary Mr.
And he's top man.
Yeah.
When it comes to player registration, he's top. So he said, Fatah, don't worry. We'll do everything. And then quickly, they arrested me. And then, could you believe, I started playing. Following the league started, I started playing. So that's how I had a chance to play for the Premier League. One training session, one friendly match, and then I had a chance. Once I've been going to clubs, Liberty, Deu, for so many weeks, no chance. So that's when I realized that everything is time. So when the time was up, I got it easy. But maybe somebody feel like this, but the person who don't know where I started from. So I started playing the league. But then the Nkoko Stadium was closed. So we were playing our matches in the Accra Sports Stadium. We play on Saturday, and then Haas, and then Olympus will play on Sunday. Liberty, Oko United players, we share Saturdays to play. When we go to away, they play home.
I see.
So I remember we play games, and then after one game against Kotoko, I remember, after that game, the following day, I was invited to the National Under 20.
Wow.
Yeah, I was invited, and the name was in the newspapers all over. But then Graphic Sports was like people were buying. So every news you get it from Graphic Sports, it's only about sports. So we went to Williba. I remember that by then, if you go to the national team, you need to take your own jersey. no sponsorship. It's not like now that even U15, U40, you get kits to wear. It's not like before. I went there like 2 weeks in camp and I was dropped. Even I was happy because going to the national team by that time, it wasn't easy. I went there.
Were you psychologically, were you prepared for the challenge at the 20 team
at
the time?
I was prepared.
Okay.
But I could see that my level
was not up there.
Was not up there.
Okay.
So when I was dropped, I took it in a good fit. So that motivated me to come back to my club to do more. So I was out from national team, playing for Okoye United for two years, 2002, 2003. No national team for me. So I went to Ashgold. So we played Okoye United. I remember we played a game against Gophers. By then it was Gophers in Obuasi. My first year went there, we lost 1-0, but I had a good game that day. The second season, 2003, we went there, the same, they beat us 2-0, but I was the man of the match. And the supporters were chanting all over that, no, this goalkeeper, we need to come for this goalkeeper. So we came to Accra, and I had a call from a man called Mr. Captain Andisam.
Yeah, Captain Andisam.
Yeah, he was the CEO for
Ashgold Stadium. Then Ashanti, Goldfields.
I picked the call. Hello, is this Fatah? I said, yes, my name is Captain Andisam, the CEO of Ashgold. I said, oh, like I was like, hey, this thing is coming to happen. So he said, you know, he wants me to come to Obuasi. Then they can do the necessary arrangement to get me from Okoye United. I said, no problem. So I arranged myself. By then, it was Saturday. I was in town. I was at Abosokai going to visit my Okoye United supporters.
This
call came. You know, Okoye United supporters, they are great. Anytime we play the game, if I go to Abosokai, before I come, the money that I will have, they will give me, it's more than even my salary.
I see.
Yes, they are very good in that. Very, very good. So I was in Abosokai when the call came.
Big shouts to all the the fans in
Abosokai. They are very
the
good.
The conversation people. About reviving Okoye United is also a whole conversation on its own.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had a call, I said, yeah. So the money that I have from Abosokai, I need to use the same money to go and buy new football. When you are going to a new club, you need to get new football boots. You need to get new sponge. You need to get new towel. I went to town to Katabatu to get all those things. And then I came home, I packed my things Sunday. I moved to a circle, I think OE station, and joined Obaseka, straight to Obuasi. So I trained with the team for 1 week, and then they called Odunaku to come for negotiation, and then they did everything the same day. The same day, they give my check. Ashgold is a top club. The same day, I signed the contract. They asked me to go and see the accountant. I went to the account office, they give me my check. And then I came to Accra. They gave me 1 week to come and prepare. I came and then I prepared and went to Ashgold. So that's where the journey started. So I played Ashgold for, I think, 11 or 12 years.
Wow.
In Ashgold.
That is a very big record, especially considering the players in your era and, your peers in the domestic league. Having players sit stable for 11 to 12 years is just amazing. And that also brings me to Ashanti Gold at the time and its relevance and its space and its size, or the place it occupied within the bigger space of Ghana football at the time for you.
It's a club that every player in the system want to play. If not Haas, maybe Power FC, Kotoko and Ashgold. They were a team that time. If you are playing, you feel comfortable to play.
Well, what impressed you the most at the time about Ashanti Gold and their setup and their structure?
Well, for the facilities, it's number one. The accommodation, even when we went to train in the morning, they give us breakfast, and then every month they still pay you. Like, the structure was even better. Even by then, they were having a partnership with Ayers. Even Ayers left, but they still have the resources that they gave from Ayers. So when you are in the team, when you sign your contract, your salary, your bonuses, every time, you get it.
Wow.
Players don't complain about money, but everything was set. And the company, by then, were producing. So everything was good for the team. So when I was there, any time a club wanted to come for me, Mr. Fianu, when Andisam left, it's Mr. Fianu who came. to take over. So anytime a club will bring a, will send a letter that they want me, they will tell me that they want me to play, so they will renew my contract. Then I will renew. So that's what
kept
me.
Why did you keep renewing your contract? And did you also get any offers from any clubs outside of here, outside of Ghana at the time?
At that time, the only club I have is in Ghana, the local.
The clubs were in Ghana, yeah, were expressing
especially
interest.
Kotoko.
What was it that was keeping you at Ashgold all the while? Because Ashgold was a big feature, yes, at the time. However, there was a Kotoko and there was a Hearts.
Yeah, I feel like I consider some things. Sometimes decision making is very important. Mm. Decision making is very key. Sometimes I consider, okay, this is my club. I've been playing regularly. Although as a player, I need to go for a challenge. But I feel like, okay, this team want to come for me. They want to give me this amount. Okay, this club that I'm playing want to give me the same amount. And then they know me here. I feel like, no, let me just, because I don't want a situation like, I'm leaving the club, they will not be happy. You know, when you are leaving the club, you need to be happy for the club to bless you. Oh, like, they always talk good about you. Even if you are coming back, they'll be happy to receive you. But if you are going, and they say, don't go, and you go, it bring you a lot of issues. So whenever a club comes for me, they ask me, I say, no, I want to go. They say, okay, we'll give you this to stay. And then I accept and then sign, renew the contract, and then stay and play for them. So that's why I kept so long in Ashgold. When the contract come, they also feel like, no, they won't allow me to go. They need to renew my contract and then add some money to my previous contract. So then I receive it and then I sign and then play for them.
Yeah.
Because it's my
and,
own club.
And that made you a very comfortable player economically, you know, at the time, relatively a very comfortable player, you know, on the domestic scene.
Yeah, I remember the first house I built is from Ashgold.
I see.
From Ashgold. My mom was having a land, and then when I received my signing fee from Okoye United to Ashgold, that's the money I used to build some 4 bedrooms on my mother's land.
I see.
And myself and my little brothers, we were benefiting on the house. So where I am now. So by then, if you are disciplined, the money that you have from the Premier League, trust me, you can do something with it. You know, things are changing now.
You've talked about discipline, and I'm throwing back to the time where you had different stories of players at the time, and those who were the big names like yourself, and you know, in the Ghana Premier League. And what were the pressures? What were some of the things that used to sway people to use their resources, you know, haphazardly?
Sometimes the society will put you somewhere for you to do something that you regret.
Okay.
Because when we were playing, you feel like, oh, maybe you are earning some money. If you look at your age, I have more years to play. So, okay, this money, let me just misuse it. I have more years. I can make another money. Football is not right. There's injury. Anything can happen at any time. So I made use of the first money to, because it wasn't any big money that, but I feel like, no, I can do something with it. But some people feel like, no, this money is not, so let me use it to buy maybe a car, or let me use it to do something different. And then if the money is not coming again, that's where the frustration start coming. So it's about decision making. It's about how you see the money. You see, like, the money is small or the money is big. You need to do something the right thing first. So when you do it and then you have something different comes, and that one will be like a bonus. Mm. So I didn't wait to make big money before thinking of where I will lay my head. Mm. By then, we are living in our father's house. If I should be so, I should like, okay, this money that I have from Ashgold, I can use it to buy some cows. No, I didn't do that. I feel like, no, my father's house, you know, I'm not alone. Yeah. I'm not the only child. So I need to start doing something on my own. So it's about decision. The players, sometimes they take.
Mm. Well, this is the one-on-one conversation with Fatau Dauda, who is legendary in the Ghana Premier League for winning it with Ashanti Gold, and of course staying at one club for over a decade, and that is one that was rare for his kind, you know, at the time when he was very active as a player in the Ghana Premier League. We'll be talking about his exploits outside of here, specifically in the South African Premier League, his exploits with the Black Stars at the AFCON and at the FIFA World Cup. A couple of years ago, we spoke about his famous celebration after saving, you know, a shot from Cristiano Ronaldo. He justified it, and there are those who disagree with him for celebrating, but he still stands by that word. More of those coming up here, but let me do some messages that have been sent to me by some friends as well. There's this one from Beltran. Beltran says, "Nat, good show. It's great to hear from Fatou Dauda. He's one of the home base players that I really admire. I like his sense of discipline and what he's been able to achieve for himself. But kindly ask him how devastating it is that the club he used to highly rate and was a part of no more is that prominent in Ghana football." That is Ashanti Gold. Okay, thank you very much, Beltran, for that message. There's another one here that says, "Nat, thank you for this conversation. We need more of such to inspire the younger generation of players in Ghana so they do not move in a hurry to go to other places." Thank you very much for that message. This one from Sam in Tema. Sam in Tema says, "Nat, good afternoon and great conversation you are having. Can you ask Fatou Dauda what his advice is for players who go to some countries that don't have better established leagues than we have here in Ghana? I remember the case of the players who got stranded in Ethiopia, and that is one of many that has been happening around the world. Let him give them some advice." Sam Intema, thank you very much for that message. Nana JC also says, "Ashanti Gold is no more an important entity in Ghana football. Please ask Fatou Dauda how he thinks this has affected the players, especially those who are in Obuasi." Thank you very much for the messages. I'll be receiving and reading some more as we go along. 055-1111-997. Fatou, so let's begin from the first one, from Beltran, which is asking about how you feel that, you know, because of scandals and because of all sorts of incidents, Ashanti Gold is not the entity that it was in terms of prominence in our football.
I think anytime I take my mind back, how Ashanti Gold is no more in the Premier League, it's very painful. I'm a coach now. Mm. You might not know, maybe I'll end up coaching Ashanti Gold. But it's my club, I have the club in my heart, I go and coach. And then we have some new generation in that town that are playing very good football. Sometimes I meet them in other cities trying to play football. Imagine there should be Ashanti Gold in the system. So I think they've even worried the youth there. Obuasi Township is Ashanti Gold. When Ashanti Gold is playing game, that's where they used to, entertain themselves. Those selling.
Yeah.
Especially those selling food vendors, and then even the media houses in Obuasi.
Yeah.
Of course, you need to talk about Ashanti Gold before you talk about other clubs.
Yeah.
But now there's no more Ashanti Gold. Who are we going to blame? Well, we'll see what happens. But the decision has been taken already. So what they have to do now, I don't know if they should agree and then start. The way Interlas have started, now they are in the Division 1.
Mm.
So for them to come to the Premier Division, the possibility is high because they are now in Division 1. So they can play and then come back to Premier League. But Ashanti Gold for 2 years now, they've not played even the Division 2. So is it that Ashanti Gold, the team is no more, or they have their different plan? That one we'll live to see how it will go, because it's very painful. It's very painful. Ashanti Gold is one of the clubs that every player would like to go and play. Even when the company were not doing production, I remember Mr. Fianu tried his possible ways to get some sponsorship to move the team up. And the team was, they were doing well.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy by then, I remember. It wasn't easy when I came back, from when I went to Orlando Pirates and came back. Things were moving, but Mr. Fianu was trying to get sponsorship for the team so the team can survive. So they handed the team over to Dr. Philippon. So I don't know what they want to do now. If they will play the Division 2, then make their way back to the Division One and then Premier. I don't know. So we'll see what happened.
Now, talk about those incidents that led to Ashanti Gold finding themselves in all sorts of trouble. Did you ever witness or experience those moments, you know, those kinds of moments, you know, during your active days in the Ghana Premier League, where people come to you secretly and try to get you to influence, or people go through others and third parties to come to you to get you to influence the outcome of games? Did you ever encounter any of that, or did you ever hear any?
Never. You know, for me, Lion, even they are scared of me to come to tell me those things. They are scared of me. They know I don't joke with my job. If you go somewhere to do it, but for me, I've never witnessed or hear such situation when I was playing. Even my playing time in the Premier League, I've never experienced or witnessed such movement or such act before. Never.
I see. So how did you feel about it when you started hearing these stories of people influencing the game, and you know, how do you feel about it?
No, I was very disappointed when I heard it. Very, very disappointed. But you know, I remember when I was playing Nigeria, when we are going to play a match, especially away matches,
yeah,
we'll go and we'll lose a match. Coming back to our base, you can see the players, some of them are happy.
I see.
I don't understand. Until I asked one of the guys, who is a Northerner, he's a Northerner, you know, sometimes, I'm not trying to say Muslims are good, but you know, Nigeria, if the person is a Muslim, it's a typical Muslim, there are some things they don't do. He tell me that.
So what, it is to say that they are very principled and
yes,
they apply the principles?
They are principled, they apply it. Okay. For that one, the Nigerian Muslim, 100%. So he tell me that both of the guys, they use the team to play back because they know Nigeria is not easy to win an away match. So they know they are going to lose. I told them that it's not possible. We can win an away match. So they should forget that. So when we go and we lose, they're happy because they know they have money, but they play their bet.
I see.
So when I heard that such situations happening, I feel like no, it shouldn't be like that. Because if that didn't happen, it will spoil the beauty of the game. So my team in Nigeria, the boys, so when the management got to know that they are doing that, those players were sacked from the team. They were sacked, and then now when we go to away, we start winning. It's about the mental, how you prepare yourself, how you tell yourself that you can win it. Because they know Nigeria, you can't win an away match. When they go, when they lose, when they can, they know nobody will say anything. So they go and then they play bet on the games. So you are coming, you are thinking of how did you lose the game? They will be happy and then be talking the bus, but when those boys were sacked from the team, and then we have different mentality, different players with different attitude, we go to away, we win, and we come. And then every year, Enyimba will play in continental games because of the away point. Because you can't win the Nigeria League without winning an away match. So anytime, the chairman there too, always he want to play in the continental game because that's where you make his money. Because when you get to some zone, you make money. So all the time, you want to play in the Champions League or the CAF Confederation Cup. So I experienced that in Nigeria when I was playing. But in Ghana, I've not seen, when I was playing in Ghana, I've not seen such a situation before. I've not met such a situation at all.
Interesting. This conversation is with Fatau Dauda. Fatau Dauda is featured for Ghana at the FIFA World Cup, at the Africa Cup of Nations, and has played in some different destinations on the African continent, including South Africa and Nigeria. Of course, has had a lot of longevity here in Ghana, in the Ghana Premier League as well. Fatau, what about, you know, the players who also, you know, get out of here to different places? And I'm referring to a text message that came earlier about your, you know, the exploits of Ghanaian footballers generally who go to look for improved conditions and better economic conditions, based on which they find themselves in some places where, you know, the ratings are not as high as Ghana, but they still go because it's outside of Ghana.
I think those players go outside from Ghana to play, I'm very sure it's because of money. But I keep saying those who are handling the teams in Ghana, a lot of them are doing it because they use their individuality that they are running their teams. So financial issues is very difficult for them because no sponsorship for them. They use their own money to run the team. Mm. But one thing I've realized from the league is if you play and you play well, it's either you play for the national team or a scout will come for you or an agent will come for you. Mm. Because people respect our league so much. So much. People respect our league so much. And then sometimes those who goes out to play, they look at their age. Mm. Maybe the person is 24 years, 25 years. And now the agent, they don't come for players who are more than 18 years. They don't. So when the players are that, I'm 21, I'm 22, and I don't make money in the league. So he needs to go to Ethiopia or Nigeria to play and make money to come and take care of his family. But one thing that I believe is, if you start well and you have the passion and you determine to make it, you make it. But when they don't have that, and they've seen that, no, now time the age is catching up, then that means I need to go and play and make money. So I think that's one of the factors.
Oh, interesting stuff there. Now, I'm also looking at the scenario where now you had served for a very long time, and eventually the moment of honor had to come. You had been there for quite a while, and eventually you won the Ghana Premier League. That must have been a lot of relief for you.
Yes, I remember when I played for Ashgrove for that 10, 11 years. No trophy for me, no league trophy. Till I went out to play for Orlando Pirates. Mm. I came back to Ashgrove to play for Ashgrove for another season before we won the league. That was 2015. So I feel like, no, me going to South Africa and coming back is God's intervention. Because God wants me to come and win the league with Ashgrove before I leave Ashgrove. So I came back, and then like people were like, why should I leave South Africa and come back to Ashgrove? But when I came to Ashgrove, I came to play the league. I won the league, and I went to AFCON. I nearly won the trophy in AFCON. So me coming back, I say it to be a blessing.
Tell me about the experience in South Africa, going to the South African Premier League, you know, playing with a club as big as Orlando Pirates.
Yeah, when I was going, I feel like me playing for Ashgrove as a number one goalkeeper, going to Orlando Pirates, yes, I need to go and play. When I went there, I went to meet a goalkeeper that was also good, who's also the captain of the national team. So it's like he's playing. You know, goalkeeping position, you don't normally change goalkeepers like
easily.
Out easily.
Mm.
You know, so I was like, no, I need to have, no, I need to get more playing time to play. But the team we were playing, and then the team is winning. So no coach will try to change a goalkeeper who is playing, and as such, the goalkeeper is the number one goalkeeper for their country. And then it was a lot of issues, but I need to be patient and then wait for my time. Even sometimes I don't go to camp until we had a new coach who is a Serbian. He came and realized that this is a national team goalkeeper and he's going to the World Cup. So he started giving me a chance when we are going to play like some cup games or when we are playing some test matches. He gave me a chance to play, and then now I started going to camp, and then I had some two games to play in the league before I left and joined Chippa United before I came to Ghana. So it wasn't easy there because the chance they gave me wasn't enough to prove myself. So I see it to be difficult move when I went to Orlando Pirates.
Let's talk about the South African Premier League in general. You were relatively very comfortable here as a Premier League player. You were senior as well, but then you went to a place where obviously the sponsorship resources for clubs and the league in general was better than you had here. Tell me some of the things you learned, from that switch.
Well, their league, as we all know, is top because of the sponsorship and then other things. I remember Orlando Pirates, when I signed a contract, they give me what they're supposed to give me, and then they have to give me the next one in the following season. And then, they use the sponsorship money to pay players, not even the money from the team. So the sponsorship you get from the from their sponsors is huge. That's where they, that's what they used to pay their players. I played for the London Pirates. They never owe me till I left there. What they, whatever they have to do for me, they did for me. They are a very professional club.
I see. And obviously, the you know, you hear of the incidents of lack of payment of salaries here, and it becomes worrying in the Ghana Premier League.
And there, I've never heard something like that before in South Africa. Even the lower teams, they make sure they pay players at the right time. Whatever the players do, they pay him. But you can't compare South Africa to Ghana. But Ghana, most of the clubs, they use their own resources to finance their club. So there's difference. But in South Africa, a lot of the teams have sponsorship. So of course, they have money to take care of the team or take care of the players. So the difference, there's big difference when it comes to team management.
There's also this raging conversation about the quality of the football that is played. You've talked about the differences with sponsorship and sponsorship resources. So now we're also looking at the quality of the football that is played. Obviously, they have better infrastructure as well. So packaging the football and putting it on television makes it look nicer and all. But the football proper, the core game, for you, what is it? How would you place it? Is their football better than that of Ghana? Is football, the quality of the game, better than that of what we have here?
Ghana, we have talent. They also have talent. But their league, like Orlando Pirates like this, we have video analysts. Mm. So when you're going to play a game, we're going to play a game with a structure. We know what you are going to do with the opponent. So is he hiring a video analyst to pay him? In Ghana clubs, how many clubs do they hire a video analyst to pay him to analyze their opponent before they play? There are some things that make their league more different than here. You understand? When it comes to talent, we have the talent, but we have to accept it. Their structure is different from here. It's different. Because the way they structure their league, the way they manage the clubs, you know, they have a structure. So it means they always also always go in for a quality. If you want a player, they go in for the player. Maybe this position want this player, they go, and then the player comes, they know what he's going to do. They don't recruit players just for recruitment reasons. No, they recruit to come and fill a space that is left behind. So they always have the structure. Every season they continue where they left. So their league is different because of how they've structured the league since.
Any memorable moments from South Africa, from the South African Premier League on your two legs there?
Yeah, I think I won the FA Cup, that is called Nedbank Cup. That's the FA Cup there. I won it in 2014 with Orlando Pirates. I think I have the medal there. It's a big, apart from the League Cup, the Nedbank is another big cup. So Orlando Pirates, we won it 2014. So when I went to the World Cup, when I came back to South Africa, my bonus was in my account because they need to give me a bonus by winning the Nedbank Cup. So when I came, because I was away like 2-3 months, my salary, my bonus was already in my account. Well, they give you the bonus according to the matches you played. And that cup, I was in the team throughout the games. So I made some money there.
I see. That must have been very good. Now, what about the people, the culture? You know, you have changed environments. You are away from your family and all of that. How easy was it for you to adapt when you played on those two different days, or let's say even on the first, you know, on the first stint?
Their lifestyle is different. Their culture is different, but you need to adapt. You need to adapt because adaptation is very important. If you can't adapt, you always fight with especially the players.
I see.
Yes, but I remember one time the media officer came to me and told me that Dauda, I know you are from Ghana. Your culture is different. These boys, that's how they are. So when they do something, forget about them. So I was like, yeah, I need to listen to what this boy. So I need to adapt to what they are doing. But that did not change my life when I came back to Ghana. No. In Ghana, our culture is different. Their culture is also different. For them, when they play the game, whether lose, win, after 1 hour, 30 minutes, they go back to normal life. Yes. Like, you've lost a match, you need to be like quiet. No, they don't do that. Even their fans, like when they lose a match and they go and they wave their fans, the fans are okay. So there are a lot of things that I've learned from them. And then I've seen that their culture and our culture here is different. So wherever you go as a footballer or as a coach, you need to adapt what they are doing there so that you can survive.
Wow. And of course, eventually you did survive. Now, when you look back at the exploits there, is there something you probably would have done in another way if you had the chance again? And I'd also want you to tell me about what the achievements in South Africa, especially winning the Nedbank Cup, did for you personally. As an individual, winning the FA Cup in the South African Premier League?
Yes. Joy, 99.7. I think after I left, they continued winning some trophies. But for Orlando Pirates, when it comes to cup games, they are expert in that. When it comes to cup games, they are expert in that. They go to play for continental games, like the cup games. I remember when I was there, they qualified for a cup game before I went there. So I wasn't registered, but then the registration was closed. So I wasn't, when they are traveling to go and play the cup, I don't go because I've not registered. But when they play those cup games, or when they are traveling to go and play in different city, you will see that, yeah, Orlando Pirates is like a House of Folk or Kotoko in Ghana. Their fans, they understand the boys, and the boys also understand them. So whenever they are playing a game, it's like final cup game for them, because the fans, they put all their hearts in the game. I remember when I started going to camp, like being the second goalkeeper for the late Senzo Meyiwa. So whenever he's playing and I'm sitting on the bench, there's pressure on him, because the fans were demanding more from him, because they feel like I'm also a Ghanaian international. So whenever he had a bad game, you see the fans will be doing this way. I mean, they should change it. I will notice there was a game.
Yeah.
There's one Sundowns player called Kekana. He has this long range shot. So I remember he shoot and then he scored Senzo Meyiwa. And then Senzo Meyiwa faked an injury. So he went out and I killed him. So that was my first PSL game for Orlando Pirates.
I see.
I came to play like 30 minutes. And then I remember we lost 1-0. I came in and I enjoyed. That's when I saw that, no, the South African League is very competitive. You know, they play with a structure. Not like you just come and do, no. You come and they give you instruction what to do. So when you are sitting on the bench, you are even very more important than those playing. Because when you are going, you need to go and do something. The person who is playing is not doing something right. That's why they ask you to go in. So when you go in, you need to change things. So you will see top teams in the world, whenever a player comes from the bench, when they go in, they do something different because they've asked to go and change things.
To go and change things.
Yeah.
Wow, this is amazing. But this thing about injuries and players sometimes faking it's interesting that some years ago, the legendary Mohamed Gago shared a story with me of how he decided to fake an injury at training so Samir Sekufor could get the opportunity to play, and that was one of the big turning points for Sami Kufuor. So we it looks like this is a thing that happens amongst you, the players, a lot.
Yes, I've seen when I was playing, as I said, Senzo Meyiwa, he did it because he never wanted to be embarrassed with the second maybe goal or something like that. So he need to, protect his image. Where the fans loves him so much. So he went out for me to come in. But the following day, he was there doing recovery. If he's injured, he's there the following day doing recovery with the team. You understand? So sometimes players do it. But for me, if I'm not fit, I won't play at all. If I play, and even they I'll concede 4-3. I'll stay in because we learn from games. We get experience from games. Even coaches, sometimes you will get experience on games. It's a game that will bring you something for you to learn and then teach your student. So some players, they do it. Mm. It's about them.
The big rivalry between Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs, their rivalries around the world, and that is also something that is superb and amazing for many reasons, some even going beyond football, like you have said. Tell me about the experience of that derby and how it shaped and defined South African football from how you saw it.
Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs. If you witness that game as a player, you always love to play this derby. The atmosphere in Joburg is serious. The way the media hype the match. So because of that, they don't play their games in the evening, Pirates and Chiefs. They have a specific time, 3 p.m., because of other issues.
I see.
When they are playing, the tickets that they will sell out is serious. So they always play it at the FNB. If you start as Orlando Pirates, you know, Orlando Pirates, we play our matches in Orlando Stadium in Soweto. But the FNB Stadium is bigger than the Orlando Stadium. Mm. So because they want to make money, they don't think about like, no, I need to play. No. They believe one thing, that football, if you know how to play, you can even play at a neutral ground and win. You see? So for that one, they don't think, no, I have to play my hood or my home. No. They want to make money. So they take them out to FNB. And the FNB is official home ground for Chiefs. That's where they play their home matches. And then South Africa, a lot of the teams, they don't have stadium. The stadium is for the community. Even Orlando Stadium is not for Orlando Pirates. It's for the community. We have some community in Soweto called Orlando. So the stadium was named Orlando Stadium, but it's in Soweto. Okay. And they've updated the park as their home. So wherever they are playing Chiefs, they go to play in FM because of the capacity. But a lot of fans will come. But one thing I love about them, when the game is finished, they are friends. Both supporters, you see them playing, joking, but when the game is on, they don't joke. The one of the derby that I've witnessed, that I've seen, that no, it's great. It's great, yeah.
You got the opportunity to play for the national teams, and that is also one very major, boost for you and for your career. Let's go back to the first time you got your call up for the national team.
Yes, I remember I was with the U23, the Olympic team, in 2007. Mm. We played a game with South Africa, home and away, we won. So we have a last game to play with Nigeria. And we needed to win that game in Accra Sports Stadium to qualify for the Olympic Games. And Nigeria, we're having last game with South Africa in Nigeria to play. So they needed a draw with us in Accra. And they came and they do that match. So we were training at Accra Sports Stadium preparing for the Nigeria game. And that time, you know, Ghana was about to host the Cantu 8. So they were preparing to play four nation tournament. So they also train at Accra Sports Stadium. So whenever we finish training, then Blaster will come and train.
Yeah.
So they start training like 5. We start 3 and we finish 5, Blaster will come and train. So I remember, because I wasn't going to play for the Nigeria game, because Niba, the former Cote d'Ivoire goalkeeper, Eric Niba, he was the number one for the U23. Yes. So he was supposed to play that game. So I was the second keeper. So when Blaster was training, Samedje was playing Israel. So he has not reported to the camp yet. So it's only Richard Kinson alone. So when they want to train, Carl Roy wanted a goalkeeper to make his training session. So they asked me to stay back and train with the Blasters. And then the Metro team will go to hotel. I will stay back and train with the Blasters. Not training, that was going to be my breakthrough. Test training across the stadium. When we were doing shooting, I would come, and then the fans there, hey, Dauda, hey, Dauda. So the Carl Roy was happy with me. So I trained with them like twice. Later, Samuel J reported to come, so I need to stop coming to the training. So after our game, Nigeria came to drill with us, so we couldn't qualify for the Olympic Games, so we need to break camp. So I went home, and then when they were about to start the Four Nations, I came to watch the game across the room. Because I trained with the Blaster players, like, I was like cool with them. So I went to the dressing room, like, just to. So I met Heavy Rena. He was the physical trainer by then.
Yeah.
So he told me that, no, they were happy with me when I came to train with them. So I would definitely make the provisional squad for the AFCON. That's what he told me. So I was like, ah, how possible? Second goalkeeper for Meteors. Was if something at all, they need to take the first goalkeeper. Yes. So I went back to Obuasi to join Ashgold. So in a month, the provisional list came. Before the list came, I had a call from Udi Asempa, Happy FM. He called me. He said, Fatao, what is him? So he said, I heard some news that some list is coming out, but I heard your name is in. So let's see. So we're in the bus going to play a league match in Tamale. So we're in the bus, and then our driver just tuned the radio to this Kumasi FM station. And they started announcing the squad. And then my name popped up. I said, like.
So you were listening to the radio that day?
Yes. But when I went back to Obuasi to join Ashgold to train, I went and I went to see Kodanka. I told him, when I came to train with the Blaster, they were happy. So they heard everything. But I shouldn't worry, I will make it. So when the list came and they started mentioning the name, I was among the five goalkeepers that was listed. Richard Kingston, who is automatic, Samir J, automatic, and then now three local goalkeepers, myself, Isaac Amaku, former Kumasi House of Kotoko, and Lord Korte, former House of Folk.
Yeah.
So imagine House of Folk and then Kotoko, you know. But it was breakthrough for me. God said it was my time. So we went to Tamale to play. We came back, and then I was called to bring my passport to the FA. So there's one boy in Obuasi who I sent, because I can't come to Accra and then go back to. So I sent one guy to send my passport to Mr. Alex Asante in Accra. So the following week, they called us that we are going to camp in Dubai. So all this while, I thought we are five of us are going to, the five goalkeepers, all of us are going to Dubai. Not knowing the provisional list was out, but when we are going to camp, they will just drop the list, and then they will just take few of us to Dubai. So we went to Dubai, and then I was there, myself, Richard, and Sameji. We were three. That's my first AFCON, my first tournament, and my first call-up in the national team. By then, I was like, so why are the other goalkeepers? So we came to Ghana, and they started giving us our JC numbers. That's when I realized that I've made a squad in 2008 AFCON. So I was the third choice in that tournament. So that's how came I made that squad, from training and then to AFCON.
Do you have any thoughts about how we possibly could have just won the AFCON in 2008 when we hosted it? You sat there on the bench and you knew, you know, you saw everything happen from that angle. You saw our triumph, our famous triumph against Nigeria in the quarterfinals, how we went up against Cameroon and we got jittery and lost that game.
Well, that tournament, it should have been the host of win something, but we were lucky. The passion, that's when I saw that Ghanaians love Blasters. Even any time we are going from our hotel to training, on the street, it's serious. Even the day we came from Dubai, when we landed in the airport, as if you had won the trophy.
I see.
A lot of fans at the airport, where we came from Dubai to just start the tournament. But it was very unfortunate. That tournament, the motivation from the government is serious. They did everything for us to win the trophy. But Cameroon didn't allow us to achieve our goal. But that's what I say, it's experience.
What do you think was the main factor for us in that game? Yes, John Mensah had been red carded. We didn't have his services. He was very key in our defense. And, you know, we brought in Ahmed Mpema Baruso, but it just didn't work against Cameroon.
Yes, you know, that one is a technical something. By then, I wasn't the coach. I was a player. So I think they know why they did that changes, or they know why they did that squad. Well, for me, I see it to be like it wasn't our own. It wasn't our own. If it should be our own, we would have won it.
Can 2008 and all of its issues there. All right, now you subsequently went ahead to play, and I guess that the big one for you was when we finished runners up in the tournament.
Yes,
right?
But I remember I played after the 2008, I was out for the national team until I had a chance to play in the AFCON in South Africa 2013.
The one that, the one that in South Africa we went all the way, right?
Yeah.
We went all the way to the
semi final.
Semis, sure. The experience, let's talk about it.
Yes, that tournament, when we were going to the tournament, I said to myself, I'm going to do this tournament. When coach gives me a chance to play, I'm ready, I'll play. That's what I told myself. So I was prepared before I went to the tournament. So all this while we were training, playing friendly matches, the coach never tell me that maybe Lion or Fatal, this tournament I want to use, nobody until the day we were to play Congo, where in the pre-match meeting, and then they projected the squad, and my name was there as the number one starting in goal.
Wow.
But because I was prepared, I never panicked. Imagine a local player going to play this tournament, the biggest tournament on the continent. Nobody asks you anything, nobody tells you anything for you to get prepared. At once, you are starting. But because I was prepared, so in anything you are doing, you need to prepare. Be ready for anything, because anything can happen. So I was prepared. So when the chance came, I was like, no. I was even happy to play. So we went to that game. The first game, we drew 2-2 with Congo. We came to the hotel. The following day, I was in my room early in the morning. Langabel came to my room to come and call me. And the minister and then President Najeti want to see me in the dining hall. When he came to tell me that, I said, hey. I was like, hey, what happened?
What have I done wrong?
What have I done wrong? Serious, I was scared. I was like, oh, because of the ghost I considered. Okay, let me go. When I went there, minister is sitting there, President Najeti and the Sani Dara. He was the communication director for the FA. So yeah. they prepared a seat for me. I sat down. They say, they were sorry to wake me up at this time, but they just want to appreciate me. If not because of me, that day we would have even lost the game. So the minister is telling me that he doesn't have money, but he has only $200. So I should take it.
This was a personal present from him to you?
Yes, his own money.
I see.
He told me that if you have, like Ghana is for him, he can give me half, but he doesn't have money, so I should take this $200 from him. So this is a big motivation for me, this money. Because when I was coming, I was thinking different. I don't know what they come to tell me, that's why they call me, but he gave me the money to motivate me. And then I keep pushing till I remember I was the man of the match against Cape Verde when we beat them 2-0 in the quarterfinal. So that tournament, I think that's my best tournament. And the tournament that I play from Ashgold to AFCON.
Now, that obviously was a high point in your career. There's no doubt about it. And considering what the then minister said to you and did for you, it clearly goes to show that there is a lot of massive appreciation for what you did and what you have done. They always talk about the Black Stars camp and how it's a difficult place to be sometimes, especially when you don't have much experience, that the camp is intimidating because you have big players there and all of that. And this is with specific reference to your time, because during your period you had a whole host of big names who are also doing massively well in different places in Europe and the Americas. How would you describe camp, a regular camp situation in the Black Stars during your era, which is not too long ago?
Yeah, during my era, for me, I would say that Black Stars is a comfortable place. The big guys there, if you come as let me say a local boy or a new guy, they will make you feel at home. That's why I was able to play in the AFCON. They encouraged me to play. So for if you go there for once, you love to be there at all time because they encourage you. You don't feel like you are new. That love they have for players when they come to the camp is big thing because they feel like no, you are part of them. They don't do like no, you are young or you are local. No, you don't feel unless maybe you the player individual you are not ready to play. But if you are ready to play, they will encourage you and then you play. So it's a place when I was in Blaster, our team is very comfortable there.
I see. And you were able to blend very well with everybody else?
Yes, because most of the guy, when I was playing locally, they also play, especially Vosa and John Boy, Jonathan Mensah, I played with him in Ashgood. Vosa was playing for Kotoko and All Blacks, and then John Boy was playing for Heart of Lions. I was playing in Ashgood. So those back four, I played with them, so I was comfortable with them. The only person I've not played with them is John Mensah. When I went to Blaster, he left John Mensah and then the other guys. But ACN, Muntari, and then Asamoah, they always encourage. They like to encourage boys. So all the time, you love to be with them because they want to put something in you. For that thing, they have it. So if you are there, if you are ready to play, you play, and then you also make your ways.
Okay. Let's talk about a bit of family and how it all weaves into this. Now, football sometimes demands that you have to be away from your family, your children, and all of that. How have you dealt with that over the period?
Yeah, when I was playing for Orlando Pirates, by then, I think I wasn't married by then. So, you know, I'm a big boy for me to stay with my father or mother. No, I'm more than that. I can go on my way. I was a kid by then. I was an adult, so I can go out without them. But most of the time, when you are playing and you have family, the clubs sometimes or most time they would like you to bring your family so that you have stable mind to work. But during my time in Orlando Pirates, I wasn't married, so I was alone. So I was not feeling that pressure.
Wow, interesting stuff. Nowadays, Ghanaian parents, especially the middle class people, families, are pushing their kids to play football, both men and females. Loads and loads of academies are springing up and all of that. Does this give you any indication about what we can do in the future, what Ghana can become in the future with people believing more and encouraging their children to play more football?
Yes, they've seen what football is bringing or football has done to people. A lot of resources in, a lot of money, people making money. And then that's why you can see that they have a lot of academies in the system. Let me give you an example, like Right Team Academy. It's an academy that they don't only do football. They do academic and then football. So when they pick you from the age of 10 years to 11 years, when you go there, before you get to 70 or 80 years, you might find your pathway. Either you go to school or you play football. When they pick you with football and then you can't read and write or you are not good in academic, they will not give you scholarship because they want you to have future. When you are 17 or you are 18 or you are 15, you can go to school, either in America or UK. If you want to play football too, your first professional contact, of course, will be Nordjylland. From there, you make your way. So playing for academy like Right Dream, if you get there and then you have given a scholarship, then you have a future. It's either you go to school or you play football. So now people have been sending their kids to go and play football. They know what football gives people and what football makes and change people's life. Because if you play football and get to some level, you will make money. But now, you need to combine football with school. That's especially those coming, you need to combine school with football. So in an academy like this, they go to school, they close, come to training, they go to school, when they close, they go to training. So they combine everything. But if you depend only on football in the academy, okay, what about if the person is 50, 60 years and then there's no opportunity for him? He has wasted all his time in the academy. So that's one of the best academy I've witnessed in my life, right in my academy, how they do the academy.
Now, tell me about the experience there and how, you know, you saw the emergence of some of these big players who are now playing for the Black Stars and all.
Yeah. When I went there, you know, Kudus and then Kamal Deen and some other guys, they were all in the academy. They play for, they passed through the academy channel, right to Dream Academy. And they are top players now, Nyama and other guys. And as I'm speaking to you, there are other guys also coming up. That they are also they are going to be a great footballers like the other guys. It's a place where they don't only groom student athletes, even coaches. They train a lot of coaches there. So if you want to be a good coach, you decided to go to Right to Dream Academy to learn. Trust me, you will learn and come in to be a good coach. I went there, I remember Deribwati.
And then he's a chief scout there.
Yeah, the chief scout there. He was the one who spoke with Kodiji Ramani that I want to come and then study coaching. I said, no problem, I should come. So I went there for the whole term. I go on Monday and then I come back to Accra on Wednesday. So they give me a permanent job. And now I'm enjoying. Anytime I do my course, they pay for my course to do. They pay for my course. Anytime I do a course, there's a course and I want to do, they pay it. So I think if you want to be a coach, they help you to be a coach. So they don't only concentrate on players, but also with coaches. So that's where I started my coaching. When I stopped playing 2 years, 3 years ago, I dedicated my time and then I wanted to learn. And now I think I'm enjoying my coaching.
Now, what would you say about your department of the game and how much prospects we have, especially now that you've landed an opportunity to be the coach of the goalkeeper's coach of the Black Stars?
Well, I said earlier on, being a player is different from being a coach. If you have played a football before, or if you have been a top or professional football, it doesn't mean you can be a coach if you don't learn. If you want to be a coach, you need to learn. We have the way of coaching and we have the way of playing. So I went to Right Dream, started learning coaching. That's where I realized that being a player doesn't mean you can be a good coach if you don't learn. No, you can't be a top coach if you don't learn or you're not ready to be a coach. It doesn't mean that you have played for the World Cup, you are playing the World Cup, you are playing for a big team, so you can be a coach. No, coaching, you need to go and do the coaching course and learn how you come out and come and teach or come and coach the kids. And then in my department, you need to be more patient because it's a huge department that demands more. Then I said earlier on that how I was training before, I can't use the same method to train the up-and-coming goalkeepers now. No, it doesn't work that way. I need to study how the modern game is going. That's where I'll get the method to come and train the goalkeepers so that they can also meet the demand as the game goes. So trust me, you have a lot of talent goalkeepers in the system, a lot. But what we are missing in the system is we need to get more goalkeepers trainers to bring these boys up. CAF doesn't do this specific course for goalkeepers.
Okay. They do the general
one. Now that they are trying to do it, and I'm sure by end of this year, they will start doing specific courses for goalkeepers. Even Damba, from Ghana, number went to CAF to go and do the instructor course for the goalkeeper's course they are going to do. So if you're a goalkeeper's trainer and you don't do research or you don't learn, you can't have a good method to train the goalkeepers. Some of us were lucky. The FA brought an instructor from Argentina last 2 years to come and run a FIFA special goalkeeper course for us, about 25 of us. But that is not all. Myself, I do online courses. And sometimes I pay 200 euros, 250 euros. About 3-4 courses I did online to upgrade myself. So, excuse me, when we are on the food, preparing a session, maybe you feel like I'm doing more than what other goalkeeper student is doing. It's not that he doesn't know. It's about you being ready to learn. Go further to get the method to come and train the goalkeepers. Because we don't have, CAF doesn't do goalkeepers courses for us. So if you don't do something on your own to learn how to coach goalkeepers, it will be difficult for you. It will be very difficult. So I think the FA is also trying to organize goalkeeping because very soon they will do it. And then I've learned that a lot of goalkeepers coaches have ready to come and do the course. So I think with that, it will help us to bring the young boys up so that we can have more goalkeepers in the system. Because the talent is there. We have good goalkeepers. But we, the trainers, had a problem. Well, the method we use to train the goalkeepers is not the right method. It's not the right method. If you should use the right method, trust me, you have a lot of good goalkeepers in the system. A lot. In all age categories.
I see. So it means that a few of you, I mean, I've seen personal efforts being made by the legendary goalkeeper Lee Jarrah. Yeah. You know, I've seen the likes of, Richard Kingston.
Yeah.
I mean, you also, from time to time, make time to train some of these players on your own. And this has led to the role you are playing now.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of other badges, are you pursuing, you know, probably the UEFA? Because I know quite a number of you within the stables from the stables of Right to Dream are all pursuing UEFA badges.
Yes, before you can do the UEFA, you need to pass through some process. So I'm beginning with the process. Maybe you can do the license D. If you want to do the goalkeeping, you need to do the license C. So I think I'm on the process so that I can do, because for me, I want to do the specific UEFA goalkeeping. But as CAF is coming to do the goalkeeping course for the goalkeepers, I think I'm also waiting for that one to do, because I want to be specific on goalkeeping. Because it's a special area that you need to get it and then understand how you train your goalkeepers and understand who you are training and who you are working with. Because it's a huge department. A lot of things involved. A lot of things involved. If you don't have a good method, you can damage someone's career. Because you are not giving him the right training. Things have changed. It's not like before, you are a goalkeepers trainer. So you say, now, even if you are going to plan for a session, training session, you, the goalkeeper's trainer, has to align with your coach. Okay, today we are going to do shooting. So maybe I'll give you 30 minutes to your goalkeepers. So after 30 minutes, I will need the goalkeepers here. So what method are you going to do as a goalkeeper's trainer to be with them there before they come and join the main session? It should be the same rhythm. That's now how the thing is. So when they come there, they will reflect, this is what we were doing, isolation with our goalkeeper's trainer. So now we are integrating with the team. So you start reflecting. I don't want to take you technically. I will take you fast. So a lot.
We're getting a master class in goalkeeping here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM with Fatou Dauda, goalkeeper's trainer of the Black Stars and one who sure has also paid his dues when it comes to the national team at various platforms, including the Africa Cup of Nations and the FIFA World Cup. We'll be touching a bit on the Olympics as we get into the final leg of the show. We'll be touching, on the Olympic Games, the happenings there, and how he feels about Ghana not getting represented in the Olympics in football for quite some years now, and many other things that have popped up. Well, did
other sports, you know, attract your attention when you were coming up? And did you get any temptation to want to go in? I mean, I remember, you know, some footballers that I knew from back in the time who played in the Ghana Premier League. Some of them were athletes who were doing, you know, the 100-meter sprints and all of that. I remember very well the case of Kwame Obindak, who used to play for Liberty Professionals, who was an athlete. And anytime he got on the wings, he was unstoppable. Nobody could get him. And that background as an athlete helped him a great deal. Do you ever get interested in any other sporting disciplines at all?
Yeah, I get interested in watching volleyball and table tennis.
Okay.
But I wasn't playing, but I love it. Even recently, they were playing in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I was watching it, and my wife came. She wanted to watch baseball and Nigeria. I said no, I beg, let me finish because I love it. Yesterday we were playing, is it Kenya? Kenya and then volley.
Yeah.
I was enjoying it. I love the way you see. If you are watching volley, you see that they play with structure. It's like football. You know they know if they are going to spike from here, you need to block and then this one. So a lot of things in volley and table tennis too. You need to be.
Very sharp,
and then coordination, everything isn't like in football. So what else? Like I like to watch volley, and then because the academy was on break, I made my mind that I need to rest my brain, and just let me move away from football, and then enjoy other sports. So that's why yesterday I was watching the volley, and then there was table tennis too yesterday between an Egyptian and then I think Sweden guy. They were playing table tennis. I was enjoying it a lot.
So we're going to be making time, you know, later in the coming week to talk about the happenings in the sprints, you know, today for very specific reasons, because we've had a lot of conversations about our sprints, how the men's team, you know, evolved and how they you know, made it. But I just want us to throw a bit of focus on those who have gone in and have made attempts and have not been able to make it. Also, I'm specifically talking about, you know, Rosie Eboa, who had her jump. She went through the first round, was unable to do the second round, and so has had an experience at the games, has had learnings from there. Also, Harry, Stacey, and other female, swimmer, Josel Mensah, you know, all these having the opportunity and going there to have a feel of the Olympics and also try their best to record better times. All of these are experiences which they need to learn from. And you know, the other story is about, you know, the sports minister who went in there and was able to go through her sprint. She won her sprint. That was one of the amazing stories from the Olympics. All of these backstories, of course, that one of the Algerian boxer who fought against her Italian opponent, and eventually it's creating a lot of, you know, brouhaha around about whether or not she is female and how she failed a test and verification test earlier and found her way into the Olympics and all of these things that are happening. But Fatal, I mean, let's do a bit of football before we come to all these other disciplines and what you think from where you sit. Everybody in this country who's been here for that long will remember our exploits from 1992 in Senegal with Coach Ade of blessed memory, because Ghana won a bronze medal there at the Barcelona Olympic Games. After that, the most significant you'd remember is when we went to Athens. I mean, I remember when Steven Appiah played against Italy and he started having issues with his club and all of that. We haven't shown in football. We've struggled to qualify for the Olympic event in football for some years now.
I think it's very worrying. I remember our time 2007. We miss it against Nigeria, and then recently I think the team also. I mean, for me I was hoping they would call, because they have a good squad, but they couldn't make it when they went to the AFCON, and then now they need to wait for another 4 years. But I think we need to fix things and then and think about why we don't qualify. You know, this Olympic tournament happens every 4 years. You know, so now I think the FA have done something which is, I think, will help. Now they have it under 15, under 16, under 17, under 18. So it will be a transition something. So I think this national team that they have created will help. So all the time we'll have players who will transit from 17 to 18, 18 to 19, 19 to 20. I think that will help a lot. So let's see how it goes and let's all support it. because we have the talent in the system, but sometimes you see them when they play for the U17, the next U20 you will see them. Maybe the movement of the players and then other things. Sometimes it distracts how the players move. So I think how the FA have done well to create this categories of national team, I think it will help to build our national team in future.
Let's talk about, you know, a few things before we wrap up the conversation. Fatou, we are struggling. You have said that we need to just make sure that we find what the solution is to this particular problem. And I'd really love to see Ghana back at the Olympic Games, in especially the football event. It would be amazing to see the team, you know, get there. And we'll see what happens. But let's look at a few social issues with footballers and life after football. You are a great example. You're giving back to the sport, you're playing a role in there, and you are employed as well. How do you feel about some of the stories that still keep coming up, even with all the efforts that are being made by the legendary Tony Bafo and the Professional Footballers Association of Ghana, of some footballers who sometimes don't manage their resources well and fall into all sorts of economic trouble?
You do mention of the Professional Football Association of Ghana. They are doing very, very well. When I went to Nigeria, I created a group because we have a lot of Ghanaian boys playing in Nigeria. So I created a group so that anytime you have a problems, you can come to the group and then we'll talk and then we'll refer to Tony Bafo. And then you see Chisa is the players relationship officer. Mm-hmm. So he's also on the platform. So we keep telling the players, advising them, anytime they have issues with their clubs, they should take it easy. They should come to the platform. We have Tony Bafo and then Chiefs are there. They can. I remember they've received money for players that their club supposed to pay them from FIFA. About three or four players.
I see.
One from Enyimba. I was in Enyimba. Mm. They paid the money from FIFA because the boy was having a good case. So, and then there are a lot of guys when you are saying life after football. It's our decision. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I started this when I was even playing Ashgold. You know, sometimes when you have the money, a lot of things come to mind. But you need to think of it, because imagine you are playing football and you are retiring from the age of, by the age of like, let's say 35 years, you are done with football. And then after football, maybe God is give you another 40 years on your 35 years. So that 40 years, without you playing football, what are you going to do? No salary comes, no bonus, nothing. So that 40 years, when you are playing football in to the 35 years, the money that you have, that can that money survive you to that 40 years that God is going to add to your age to make it 75? So that's what you have to start thinking when you are playing football actively. So when it happens like this, if you take this way, you start saving some money. So when you finish football, that's where the life starts. Because if you have a house, you need to do maintenance. You need to pay bills. As I'm talking to you now, I need to do maintenance in my house. Yes, it's normal. It's not about buying the big houses or buying the big castle. Let me give you one story. When I played in AFCON 2008, we make money. We made a lot of money. The only car I bought that time was Golf 4. I can buy Land Cruiser. I can buy Range Rover. I bought Golf 4.
Well, you could have bought a Range Rover.
I can buy, yes. But I didn't. My mother was having a house, my father was about it. I wanted to build a house. And I bought a small car. But I realized that the car that I can maintain. Because I was still playing for Ashgold. So if I should go and buy a Range Rover, how can I maintain it? I'll end up selling the Range Rover cheap price. But if you buy a land value doesn't come down. It goes up. Where I live, when I bought the land where I live now, I bought it in 2014, like let's say $10,000. But now, one plot there is $70,000. You understand? That's the difference between asset and then this thing.
Liability.
Mm. You understand? So most of the guys, they don't think that way. Sorry, I'm not insulting. They don't think. If you think, so after football, what am I going to do? You start saving. Any money that comes to you, you save. Because after football, there's life after football. God so good, after my career, I mean into next phase of my career. I'm doing everything that I do with passion. as you said something, sometimes when I like design my own session on my own, I'll take my own bus, my own equipment, put it in my Jeep. I'll pick some keys, bring them to Legon to execute and see whatever I've planned. Is it working? Not to the people are watching.
I see.
I was there, and then my former coach, who gave me the platform to play for the Blaster, Coach Chris Appiah, may God bless him. I was there, he called me. He's going to Sudan. He took me to Sudan to go and work. You understand? And then I came back to come and work for the country that gave me the platform, Blasters. So everything that you are doing, do it with passion. I didn't know I would come and be a coach and then go and coach Sudan, but I was planning ahead. You understand? And now I'm still working. But it doesn't mean whatever I have, I should just, because you have family, you have kids, you have home that you need to take care of. A lot of things. So the advice that I can give for the up and coming one, when they are playing, they know they are in their prime time, they should think of life after football. After they stop playing, what are they going to do? When they start thinking that way, trust me, they will take good decisions. So most of the guys that are, sometimes it's painful. It's painful, but it's about the decision that sometimes we take when we are playing, when we are active playing. And now if you are 24, 23 years, the agents don't want to come for you. They feel like you are getting old. And in Ghana, when you are 23, 24, that's where you start understanding football. By, you know, 60 years, 70 years, they understand all the basics. They know the philosophy. They know how the team want to play. We just saw the hero, a 60 years old boy is playing. So if you are in Ghana, you are 19, 20, your basics are not good. You can't play in Europe. But you have young boys, they're 17, 18, that understand the basics, that understand the philosophy, that understand the style of play. And you are here, you don't understand. It's a problem, big problem. Yeah.
Time obviously will not be our best friend, but I want you to, let's start wrapping up with, working with Coach Otuado and the kind of relationship and bond you've created with him to get this job done with the Black Stars, which obviously is in a transitional phase.
He's a great man, and he doesn't hide anything from us, the coaches. We always plan together, take decisions together, having meeting upon meeting, try to get the best of the team. He's a coach that you like to work with, and then a lot of learning from him. He's a great man. Very, very, very great man. So for me, all of us should be patient with him. We will build a very good team for Ghana. Trust me.
How much patience? I mean, Senegal, for instance, waited 7 years with Aliou Cisse. He won them the Africa Cup of Nations. How much patience, if you say patience, how much of it? In terms of maybe the number of years?
Well, I can't say 1 year. I can't say 2 years. But it's possible, even they say we can win AFCON. It's possible. Yes, it's possible. So we should be patient and believe that everything will be fine. Because for me, I've seen that he's doing the discipline among ourselves, the technical team is something different. Not to talk about the players, even the technical team. Everybody is doing everything at the right time. We are doing the right things at the right time. Communication. When you're supposed to do this, you do every, like, you know your work, you have to do your work. So, with that will bring the success. When there's a discipline at the top, it brings success. So for the very few days that I've been, or the few months that I've been a Blaster, I've seen something, and I've learned something on top of my
experience.
Yes. So wow. I think, inshallah, we'll get there.
Fatal. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you here for this conversation this afternoon, and we wish you well. And just before you go, maybe we should wrap up with a Muslim prayer. But before we do that, I would just like to wish my lead producer, Benaya Elomdafia Mepo, happy belated birthday. Benaya is the backbone of this show, you know, runs around, makes us get everything done. So, Benaya, happy birthday. You know, so if you have his number, call him up and send him a present or wish him happy birthday. Also, with great respects and humility, we wish the Gawanche, King Takite Kuchu, the second, happy birthday. He celebrated his birthday yesterday. There was mass, there was you know, a Muslim prayer with the chief imam, and there was a celebration at the forecourt of the palace. We wish him well. We're praying that God will give him even bigger wisdom to lead the people and also be a bonding point between amongst the Gadangwe people. And you know, he would also relate well and make massive impact on the people. So this is how we wrap it up. Thank you so much to Fatau Dauda once again. Fatau Dauda, an amazing guy to always talk to here on the show. So this starts off many one-on-one conversations we're going to be having over this period. And so there's a lot of analysis on our performance at the Olympics and more in subsequent editions of our shows on the rest of our platform. So you all stay well, be good. But just before we go, we'll do a Muslim prayer to wrap this up from Fatau Dauda.
Let's pray. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm ad-Din. Iyaka na'budu iyaka nasta'in. Allahumma iyaka na'budu iyaka nasta'in. Allahumma iyaka na'budu iyaka nasta'in. Idina sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-lazina alamta alayhim. Gairu makdubi alayhim. Wala dualina amina. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa wala khayyul qayyum. La ta'uzu sinnatu wala na minlahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ardi. Manzal lazi yashwa indahu illa bi izni. يعلم ما بين عندهم وعلفهم ولا يدون بشيء من إلمي إلا بما شاء وشيء كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يده لثهما ولا علي العظيم سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض له ملك السماوات والأرض ويميت على كل شيء القدير هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن هو بكل شيء عليم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفات لما ولحات لما سبق ناصر حق بالحق ولا عادي إلى صراطك مستقيم ولا يلي أبقى قدير من دار العظيم أخير والدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين آمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين
آمين آمين. Thank you all very much for listening and watching.
Joy 99.7 FM.